I know you're not supposed to wear a hat in church, but I want to show you this. This is my favorite hat. Now, the reason she says that is I've had this hat for about 15 years. And I like several things about it. It's my UFC hat, so I feel a little tougher whenever I wear it. It's comfortable to me. It fits my head. Matter of fact, you know, it's almost gotten to where it just fits my head perfect. It used to look prettier in days past, I know, and so it's kind of faded. I've washed it so many times to try to keep it going. And there is a smell to it, a little bit. And so that's why it lives out in the garage. But it's my favorite hat. You guys know this, right? We got our favorite T-shirts. You know, we've got our favorite, I got my favorite shorts, my favorite jeans. I've got, and it doesn't matter. I've even got my favorite shoes that I've had for about 15 years. And, boy, I heard a moaning there. What was that? But anyway, and most of my favorite stuff, I will admit, because it's used, it has stains on it. And some of it has holes in it. And some of it, like this, doesn't smell all that good. But here's the thing. The reason I like it is because it's comfortable. Because I like the way it fits me. I like the way it kind of conforms around me. It's kind of my security blanket. And it is true, Luann will not let me wear many of these things out in public. Like I'm allowed to wear them out in the yard, but I can't wear them to the store because they're embarrassing to her. And all that kind of stuff. But I like it because I like what I'm comfortable with. Aren't you? You got your favorite thing, your favorite chair. You got your favorite, you know, maybe you got your favorite pan that you love to cook with. Or I don't know, but we've all got our favorite stuff that we're totally comfortable with. And we like it. There's a story in Luke chapter 5. It's at the beginning of this chapter. Jesus, he starts to call disciples. And the first one that he calls at the very beginning of the chapter is Peter. And you got to remember, Peter's a fisherman. He's rough and tumble. And a lot of fishermen were not allowed in churches because they smelled and they didn't go to church anyway very often. But that's who Jesus called. He also called later on in the chapter Matthew, who was a tax collector. Now, a tax collector couldn't, because they were collecting taxes for the Roman government against the Jewish people, they weren't even allowed in church. I mean, they may be Jewish, But because of who they worked for, they were just horrible kind of people. They're not the kind of people, Matthew and Peter aren't. They aren't the kind of people that if you're a religious teacher, that you would call to be your disciple. later on in the story, later on in Luke chapter 5, Jesus heals a man with leprosy. Then he heals a man who's paralyzed. He even forgives the paralyzed man's sins. And boy, that caused a stir, man, amongst all the religious people, you know. Jesus is starting to come into conflict really quickly with religious leaders. And they think what he's doing is blasphemous, calling these disciples, you know, from a fisherman. And people not even religious, a tax collector. They aren't right with God. And then he forgives this other man's sins. I mean, it's just sacrilegious the way he's going about things. And then here's the big kicker. This is kind of the fulcrum of the chapter. After he calls Matthew decides to throw a party so he can introduce Jesus to all his new friends, or all of his old friends. You know who all of his old friends are? Well, they're tax collectors and they're sinners and they're people that the religious people said you shouldn't even hang around with. And so they complained. They said, man, Jesus, you're always eating and drinking. And this is what it says in the Bible. This is what it says in chapter 5. You're always eating and drinking with scum. And Jesus says, look, I'm not here for those who think they're righteous. I'm here for those who aren't and need to repent. I'm not here for the healthy. I'm here for the unhealthy. And then it says this in verse 33. One day, this is right after this, one day some people said to Jesus, John the Baptist's disciples fast and pray regularly, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees. Why are your disciples always eating and drinking? Jesus, I mean, look, this isn't normal. These guys aren't even acting religious, you know? I mean, if you're a follower of God, they should be fasting and they should be praying and they should do the things that followers of God do. But your guys, man, they're always eating, they're always drinking, they're always at a party. They're not acting in any of the ways that we're accustomed to followers of God acting. And here's how Jesus responded in verse 34.
Do wedding guests fast while celebrating with the groom? Of course not. But someday the groom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. And then Jesus gave them this illustration. No one tears a piece of cloth from a new garment and uses it to patch an old garment. For then the new garment would be ruined, and the new patch wouldn't even match the old garment. And so no one puts new wine into old wineskins. For the new wine would burst the wineskins, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine must be stored in new wineskins. But no one who drinks the old wine seems to want the new wine. The old is just fine, they say. This story right here, these verses we just read, are in all three synoptic gospels. That's Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They have some of the same things in them. And all of them. All of it. The banquet at Matthew's house led to this sort of like stirring up of the religious leaders. And it wasn't just fasting and praying, but in another of the Gospels, it's almsgiving that the disciples weren't doing. They weren't doing the practices that religious people did, that the devoted did. I mean, if you're religious, these are the things you do. This should be your habit, your pattern, your practice. This is how you follow God. But they didn't do any of that. Not only did they not see his disciples fast, but they didn't even see them pray, and they were always hanging around with these unrighteous people. They were always having a good time. They were always partying. And so everybody goes like, so what gives? What's the deal here? Why aren't your guys doing what we're all accustomed to? Why aren't you guys doing what religious people do? Jesus says, look, think about it like a wedding. At a wedding, everybody parties. The only wedding that I didn't really have a super, super time at was my daughter's wedding. Because when you give your daughter away and you have to pay for all of that, did I say that? Kind of takes a little bit of the joy out. Nah. But at a wedding, everybody's always happy, right? At a wedding, like, everybody's always like, this is a time to celebrate. This is a time to celebrate the groom. And Jesus says, that's the way it is here. While I'm here, there's no reason for them to be, you know, doing. They need to celebrate while the groom is here. Because I'm not going to be here forever. I'm going to be taken away. And when I'm taken away, then they can pray and fast and do the almsgiving. But for now, while I'm here with them, this is how they should respond. Because I'm doing something new. Jesus says, you know, this is so big, and what God is doing right now is so large that I'll tell you why. God's doing something because God is doing something new, and the ways you've grown comfortable with cannot contain them. Prayer's good, man, great. Almsgiving, good. Fasting, good. All those things are good. But for right now, I'm doing something new, and this warrants some new ways of doing things. It warrants some new ways of responding to God. This is so new and different that it requires a new container. You just can't patch this container up. The old form of doing things, the old habits, the old practices. I've not come to tweak something. I've come to fulfill the law and do something new. And in the same way that no one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment when it needs repair, I'm not here to patch up Judaism. And I'm not here to patch up your practices and your rituals. I'm not here to fix your religion. I'm not here to put a patch on it. I'm here doing something new. You know, back then, people never threw clothes away. And they were so expensive, so if something ripped or torn, you didn't throw it away and replace it. You know, you didn't run down to JCPenney's or somewhere, and you didn't give it to somebody else. You patched it up. That's what you did. You sewed it up. That's a little different today because we'll discard stuff. Or, you know, I remember when I was a kid, I used to continually tear holes in my jeans on my knees because I'm pretty rough on about anything, And so I was rough on my clothes. My mom, she was a great seamstress, and so she would put patches. And I had a lot of patches on my knees until Tough Skins came along. Do you know Tough Skins? Yeah, some of you are giggling, you know. Hey, listen, this is the Sears brand of jeans, okay? Maytag,
pair of jeans is what it was. It was made out of some type of Kevlar that would not tear. The sizes were, I think, slim, medium, and guess what I wore? Husky. That is not a good thing to wear, husky. And so I wore husky, and the things, they were so straight, you couldn't get them to bend. You know, like Levi's, everything, they'll all fold up and feel. Oh, no, not my tough skin. I'd take them off, and they'd stand over in the corner because they were, you know, they ought to put those on our soldiers because I'm telling you, I don't think anything can go through them, or there'd be like armor piercing. Anyway, so that's what I wore was, oh, but I was really ahead of my time. You know, today, you see kids all the time. Some of you today may not have, you may have holes in your jeans, right? Libby's not here today, but Libby's my favorite. I never know. She got holes all over. My daughter, first time I ever saw those, I don't think it was in our house. I think that was later after, yeah. And when she got married, you know, it ruined her. And so I see her the first time with holes in her jeans, and I went, does Dad need to buy you a new pair of jeans? And she goes, Dad, I bought them like this. I'm going, well, what is the matter with you? But that's what they do now, but not back then. Jesus is like going, we patch things up here. And when you patch things up, you don't put a brand new piece of fabric on, because what will happen, that new piece of fabric will shrink when it's washed, and then it will tear, and you'll make the tear worse than it was before. You don't do that. Or it's like old wineskins. Old wineskins, they shrink, so you put new wine in new wineskins. Because when wine ferments, it gives off gases, and new wineskins, they're pliable and elastic, and they can handle the expansion of the fermentation process. The old wineskins were stretched out, and they were brittle and dried out and rigid. And so if you put new wine in the old wineskin, what will happen is it'll begin to contract and begin to expand, and because it's so brittle, it'll burst, and all the new wine spills out because it can't handle the fermentation. Both the wine and the wineskin will be ruined. And Jesus is trying to make a very good point. He's teaching this brand new, unique, this brand new thing that Jesus was teaching, this way to live in relationship with God. What God was doing in sending his son into the world was like new cloth. It's like new cloth that couldn't be used to patch the old system, the old way of doing things, the old way of justifying oneself, the old pattern of living. It couldn't hold it. What God was doing through Jesus was like wine that the old wineskins of the law and rules and regulations, their old practices, their worldview, how they viewed each other, all this was going to be new. It was new wine. It had to be put into a new skin because Judaism couldn't contain it. And Jesus says it's impossible to blend this new message with their current system, with their current way of doing things. He said, I've not come to blend anything. You can't add what I'm teaching, you know, into everything else that you've learned. And you can't pour what I'm teaching into this old container that you've developed to handle, you know, God at one point, because this is bigger than that. It's incompatible. It's not, this is something new and fresh. I remember once my brother, we had two cartons of milk. One of them had expired and the milk had gone bad. And we didn't have enough, he didn't think, for us to share out of the other carton. So you know what he did? He thought he'd freshen the old up. Yeah, that's right. So he poured the bad milk in with the good milk. Yeah, we both threw up for a while. But sometimes that's what we try to do, isn't it? Try to mix it all together. We just try to take in a little bit of the new with the old, and we don't realize we're ruining the whole thing. Because isn't God always doing something new with us? Amen. Isn't God always doing something new with us? I mean, we know it's true when we become his followers, right? We know that it's true when we leave the old life to come into the new life, right? Here is 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here. Right? But that's not just one experience. It's not just I turn my back and I embrace this new experience and that's it. This is ongoing in our life. It's something. It's. There we go. Are we okay? Okay. Where was I? Something that he constantly does in our lives. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says this, when I was a child, I spoke about childish manners.
And for I saw things like a child, and I reasoned like a child, but the day came when I matured and I set aside my childish ways. There are other places in 2 Corinthians and again in Hebrews where Paul talks about how disciples need to go from drinking milk to eating food. Disciples need to mature. Disciples need to grow and develop. And I'm going to grab this mic down here. I am determined we are going to get through this day one way or the other. Hang in with me, all right? But see, there's this, in Christianity, when we follow Jesus, it's not just one time I turn and that's it. There are places along the way where he moves me and he wants to grow me and he wants to mature me. Brylin, our 22-month-old granddaughter now, we've watched her go from, you know, she breast milk to a bottle to, you know, then it was this sippy cup, and now she's got a full-fledged on just water bottle. She wags around all the place, you know, and she's matured. And the day will come when we can take that lid off, maybe, although I've got some stuff dribbled on me today. But anyway, but she matures, right? She's gone from milk to baby food to now she'll eat whatever's on your plate if you're not quick enough. Because she'll like, oh, papa, you know, and so, but that's developing, it's growing, it's maturing, and that's the way we are as followers of Jesus. We don't just turn and start to follow him and that's it. There are places and times of growth in our life where we become more like him, and there are times when he does new things with us. As followers of Jesus, we're to be growing and developing and maturing in the character of Christ, becoming more like Jesus. God is always wanting to do something new in you and in me. And it's that way in the church. I mean, we don't do things the way we did 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. I don't know, some of us think, well, you know, I wish we did. Well, it's a different world. And as a different world, but more than that, you know what? God is maturing us as well. I remember in the 70s, my dad used to drive a bus. I don't know that people would let a stranger come and pick their kid up every Sunday the way they did with my dad and, you know, visit them. I mean, it was a time and a season that we went through that God used it. Here, the Passion Play was such a blessing for all these years. But now God's doing something new. It's not that the world changed as much as it is that God wants to do something new and fresh in us. What's the next bus ministry? What's the next Passion Play? What's the next thing that God might use to ignite the character and the growth and the development of his people? What is that thing? And do we want that thing? God's always wanting to do something new with us. It's just the way that his word, it's just what he says. It's just what he does. And the new thing that he often does requires new ways of doing things. Romans 12:2. You've heard this verse before, maybe if you've been around the church very long. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now that word conform that you see up there is like a mold. If you've ever baked a cake, you ever poured like a cake into a mold or poured chocolate into a mold to shape it? That's what that word is. And so what he's saying is that, you know, we're constantly exposed to pressure from this outside world about what we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to do. The world's always trying to mold you into its pattern or into its shape. But that doesn't fit what Jesus wants to do in your life. That's why he says we have to be transformed. The Greek word here is where we get our word metamorphosis. It means to change from within. See, a mold shapes you from without and is concerned about what you look like. But a transformation is something that happens from the inside out, and it changes the character and the nature of who you are. And there's a big difference. So many times, a lot of us have tried to live the transformed life by being conformed. Conformed to our religion. I remember when I was a kid, right? We couldn't drink or chew or run with women that do. We couldn't go to the bowling alley. We couldn't play cards. We couldn't play dominoes. Oh, we couldn't dance. And if you saw me dance, you would know I was raised in a house where we couldn't dance. But you know what all that was? That was conforming. And there's been too much conforming in the church and not enough transforming. Amen? We've got a lot of conforming, but it's not about what we look like. It's about who we are in Jesus Christ. It's about the new wine. It's about the Spirit fermenting inside you and I. Allow it changing us, changing our worldview, changing our perspective, changing the way I see my circumstances, changing the way I see my marriage partner, changing the way I see my children and the way my children see me. This inward work of God renews my mind. It changes my thinking. It changes how I see you, and it changes how you see me, and it changes how all of us see God. This is a constant in the Christian life. This isn't a one and done. This isn't even with sanctification a two and done. This is a continual process, because I know this morning looking out on this crowd, is that all of us have a ways to go to be like Jesus Christ. We've all got a way to go to be more like God. We will have that until we die and go to heaven and stand before Him. And so we're in this process. My life, I've been walking with Christ for so many years now, but the reality is I have some ways to go. There's always some stuff that God reminds me of, and He continues to reveal His character in me. I have a ways to go, and so do you. But for that change to come, we have to have the new wine and a new wineskin. It's because it doesn't happen overnight. You know, you don't just throw a bunch of grapes into a bag and a week later open it up and go, oh. There's a process that wine has to go through, and it takes a while. The fermentation takes time. The gas begins to build. The pressure begins to build. The reactions of the wine and the heat and the sugars and the yeast build as it ferments. There's a tension because there's a chain reaction that the tension comes, and the tension of all of that is what changes the grape into wine. And it's the same with the Holy Spirit in our life. When He comes into our life, it's like that yeast. He begins to change us, and things begin. The tension is created inside of us. I read this statement this week, and I believe it. Our tolerance for tension determines our growth. Or I would say it determines our transformation. My ability to be able to handle that things are going to be different and I have to do things different, and my ability to be able to trust God to get me through it, it matters. You know, muscles require tension to grow. And time under tension, that's what builds muscles. Time under tension is also what builds spiritual muscles. Tension is what grows us and matures us and builds us to be more like Jesus as we rely and trust in Him. Now, I know we like tension in our movies and on Netflix, whatever it is we binge, but we don't like a lot of tension in our own life. But I want to say this to you. Problems and opposition are used by God to create the opportunity to know God and make God known. Problems and opposition are used by God to create opportunity to know God and make God known. It is part of the fermentation process of the Spirit in our lives that changes us. We've all got room to grow. And here's the thing, if you aren't fermenting, if you don't have any tension in your life, if you don't have any place where God's challenging you to trust Him more, to love Him more, to depend upon Him more, then you probably aren't growing and you aren't maturing. You're not being transformed, but you know, and if you're not becoming more like Him, then I don't know. Am I really letting God do something new and fresh in my life if everything just stays the same? If I hear God say to me, I want you to be different in this way, I want to transform you in this way, I want to make you over in this way, and we go, oh, well, okay. But we don't give ourselves to it because we're comfortable with what we have. I cleaned out one of my desk drawers the other day. I've been doing a little of that during the coronavirus thing. And I found a candy bar. And I thought for a minute, and I couldn't remember putting that candy bar in there. So I thought, but, you know, I was having a bad day. You ever have one of those bad days and just walk upon a candy bar? Like maybe you drove to the store to walk upon a candy bar. So I thought, I'm going to eat this. And so I started to open it, and I looked, and they had a little, date, the expiration date on it from 2 years ago. And, yeah. No, I didn't. I'm growing and maturing, and I threw it away, and then I went to the store and bought me one. But anyway, but there's nothing worse than stale candy, except maybe a stale relationship with God, because when it gets musty and it gets dead and it gets dormant,
And it gets, it's hard. And it can be really difficult. Matter of fact, you and I know this, right? When something is alive, it grows. And when it doesn't grow, it's usually a sign that it's becoming stale and maybe dying. And if you're growing in Christ, if you're becoming more like him, your bag ought to be changing. I mean, if you really are a follower of Jesus, God is wanting to do something fresh in you. He's wanting to do something fresh in your life. Because here's what I know. He's the God of Israel who fed them every morning whatever they needed that day. He brought them fresh manna. He's the God who, it says in the Old Testament, his mercies are new every morning. I tell you, I don't know how many times these last few months I've been so glad that his mercies are new every morning. I don't have to live on the mercies of yesterday, but the mercies are fresh every morning in my life. He's the God, Jesus said, I don't want you to worry about what you're going to wear today, and I don't worry about want you to worry about what you're going to eat today, because I'm going to take care of you today. Tomorrow we'll take care of yourself, but I'm going to take care of you today because I'm that active. He's a God of a fresh word and a fresh challenge. He's a God of fresh strength when it feels like mine will not, well, I can't even take another step or go another, walk another mile. His energy and his strength is real. He's a God who's transforming us continually, and you've got to keep the container fresh because if your wineskin gets dried out and brittle, on an experience a long time ago, what God wants to do with you today, it won't be able to handle it. It won't be able to contain it. It won't be able to live in it. And I know some of us hate change. I got to thinking, why are we so attracted to yesterday's blessing? Why am I so attracted to yesterday's container? Well, you know what? I already paid the price for that one. I got used to that one. You know? I got comfortable with it. We do things differently now, and I got comfortable with it after a while. Now, when it started, it was brand new and different, and it was hard. And we think like, you know, I hate to get started. I hate to risk anything else. But the new requires the unknown. The new requires a different pattern. And being more like Jesus requires I live differently. Wouldn't it be great if he could make me more Christ-like and leave me just the way I am right now? No. I have to change, and I have to be open. I have to be open to seeing you differently, and you open to seeing me differently, and all of us open to seeing him differently. And see, you can't receive today's opportunities without some tension. And the tension that God creates in our lives to grow us and mature us requires a new way of living, a new experience of God. Not in the same old habits, not doing the same old things, not living the same old way, but I have to be differently. I have to break out of that pattern and walk in a new pattern with him. Because when God challenges us to upgrade, to adjust, to change, to love differently, to talk differently, to treat others differently, that fermenting of the Spirit in us demands that I do something differently. Because I don't want to be molded by what's around me. I don't want to be molded by the right practices and the right things to do. I want to be transformed and changed so I'm different. You know, the only thing that ought to be the same yesterday, today, forever is God and not you. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, but not you. God wants to transform us. We still need to grow. We still need to mature. You remember the early church, whenever Jesus went away and the disciples, the early church at first, you know what they did? They tried to put it all in an old container. Most of them were Jewish. All of them were Jewish at first. And so they had discussions like, well, should everybody have to get circumcised? You tell a 35-year-old man he's got to get circumcised, and that is not good for evangelism, I'm telling you. So they were having these, do we have to keep the ritual laws? Do we have to keep all this stuff? They were trying to keep the new thing God had done in this old container. And one day, God visited Peter. He had sent an angel. And he said, hey, dude, you're missing it. This is for Gentiles too. And all of a sudden, and then he went and he visited some Gentiles, and the Holy Spirit came, and they were sanctified. And all of a sudden, they realized this new thing God was doing meant some new brothers and sisters. This thing that God was doing meant it was bigger than the container that they tried to hold it in. And what God wants to do, Fairlawn Church of the Nazarene through us, is bigger than the container. It's bigger than the way we've done it in the past, especially in this day and age where I don't know what the future looks like. And I don't know how people are going to start worshiping online. And I don't know any of this stuff, but I know the one who does. But the thing is, I got to have my container big enough. I got to say, I'm not stuck on my container. If I've got to find new ways to let you work and move in order for it to happen, God wants to do something new. And here's the bigger issue. God may want to do something new in you right now. And maybe, just maybe, I just wonder this morning, has God been trying to do something new in you and you've been resisting because you'd have to throw out that old container? Maybe you're living off maybe it's been a long time since you had a fresh wave of God. Maybe you're experiencing God in an old bag. And maybe it's time to get a new one. Because it's so easy to get comfortable with the way things have been and what God has done and the way God has spoken. And God says, I want to do something brand new in your life. I have new energy for you. I have a new calling for you. I have new blessings for you. I have strength for you that I want to give you. But you're going to have to open up. You're going to have a new experience of me. You're going to have to let me pour fresh wine into you. And you got to be willing to let me change the bag. I just wonder, when's the last time you got a new touch? When's the last time you had a new filling? When's the last time you made a deeper commitment? When's the last time you took a step forward? When's the last time you let God change you because his spirit was fermenting inside of you? Some of us, the spirit is fermenting inside of us so strongly that we're about to burst and we don't know what to do. We have to give in to him. We have to say, God, what is it that you want to do to me? How do you want to transform me? How do you want me to be different? How do you want my family to be different? How do you want my church to be different in these days? God, I need a fresh touch. I need a fresh touch of you. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Give me new wine. God wants to do something different with your life. Are you willing to let him? Will you bow your heads with me this morning? God, we just right now pause for just a minute in the quietness of this moment. And we ask you the question that your word seems to proffer to us today. Lord, is there something new you have for me? Oh God, I know today I need new strength. I need new courage. I've found the last few weeks that my courage has waned. My spirit has waned. And some of my passion is gone. I get so bogged down by what's going on around me in the world as it tries to shape me and form me. It's so easy to be conformed to what's around me, to let it press in on me and make me into what I am. But God, you're in my heart today. And in my heart today, Lord, I pray that you would change me, transform me. I want to be stronger today in your strength. I want to be more courageous today in your courage. I want to be more like Jesus. God, I need more faith. God, I need more belief. I need more trust this morning. I need more grace today. So God, I pray this morning, would you come fill me in a new way? God, would you come into my heart and life this morning? And I submit myself to you. And if we've got to change the bag, let's change the bag. I just want your spirit fermenting in me, transforming me into the likeness of your son, Jesus Christ. I want to be more like Jesus. And God, it's been a while. My devotions have been stale. My prayer life's been stale. God, I pray that you would come. I pray this morning, Lord, as I heard your word, God, I want to respond to you and I want to allow you. Please, Lord, come do something new in me. come do something new in me. Come do something new in my marriage. Come do something new in my family, in my relationships with my kids and my parents. Come do something new in my neighborhood, at work, at school. Come do something new, Father, in our church today. Father, come do something fresh and new in us. Pour new wine into us. And may we be responsive, Lord. May we not put it in new bags, but may we be willing to change. We want to be different. We want to be changed into the likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, God, I just give myself to you. And I pray this week, as this message ferments in my life this week, that as I think about it and pray about it, as I consider it, Lord, that your Holy Spirit, God, would direct me and lead me to a new and fresh outpouring of your Spirit in my life. I need it. I need it. I need it. Our world needs it. Our country needs it. We need a fresh outpouring of you. Start with me. Begin with me. And I will give you all the praise, and I will give you all the thanks and all the glory. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In the Bible app, if you didn't go to it today, there is a Bible study through Bible readings and devotions for the day that go along with new wine and fresh experiences. And I'm going to be doing it this week. I want to invite you to do it with me as well. You can find it through our Facebook page, or you can go to the Bible app and find it. But I just pray this week that you'll find new ways to let God speak new and afresh to you. Because while all this is going on in our world today, we need to let God do something new and fresh in us. Because whatever's ahead, whatever's going on, whatever's happening in the days that are ahead, he's already out there in front of us. And he's already leading us, and he's the one who's going to see us through. I want to remind you this morning that if you saw the offering plates as you came in today, you can leave your offering there, or you can go online or text to our church if you need to give this morning. But I appreciate your faithfulness in these days, and just pray that you would continue to do that as well. Why don't you stand with me this morning? I want to give you a blessing today as we go. I think we made it without blowing anything up, or don't clap too loud or the ceiling may fall. Here's the blessing today I want to leave with you, and it's in Exodus, and it's a great blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you, and may he give you peace this week as you live for him. Let him do something new in your life this week. Wave to one another and be dismissed today. Have a great week this week.